Although other aspects of the pandemic have gotten more attention, there are questions about how COVID-19 relates to water and sewage. Environmental group Riverkeeper has been looking into whether the virus survives in either and poses a transmission risk. Riverkeeper's Water Quality Program Director Dan Shapley has been researching the subject.
Well, what we know about the virus, and I am speaking from as someone who's a student very much of this, so I am going to share as much information as I feel like I know, but there are a lot of unknowns, and it's important that people understand that. This isn't the hardiest of viruses, thankfully. It shouldn't be as long-lived in water or sewage or anything else as some other viruses that are present in our waste streams. But there is evidence that other coronaviruses, like the COVID-19 virus, can survive through our waste stream and survive in water and could present a risk of transmission in contaminated water. So that is a risk that we're concerned about. It's not, if you had to rank a hierarchy of risks of transmission, this is certainly not higher than the risks that we're all talking about all day, every day, about the concerns about wearing masks to avoid interpersonal contact, spreading the virus. Those types of transmission routes are obviously highest priority and the biggest concern. But we are also concerned about the potential for the virus to be spread through our inadequate waste sewage infrastructure that allows so much untreated sewage into the water so regularly.
So where does that lead Riverkeeper to advise when it comes to recreation on the Hudson River?
Yeah, so in any case, it's a good idea to avoid recreation in water that is affected by untreated sewage. So a lot of what we are advising is really reinforcing advice that that we unfortunately have to make all of the time, that we can pass pathogens out through our bodies and through the waste stream, and if that waste is not treated, then it can present a risk of illness in the water. And that's really what we've been studying with our water quality monitoring effort for over a decade. So we understand patterns in the Hudson River and its tributaries and where there's more likely to be risk from exposure to these types of pathogens. With the COVID-19 virus, what we are recommending is that people be very mindful of that potential risk and that they avoid recreation in or on the water that might be contaminated with sewage.
So what about drinking water? We're always concerned about drinking water. How does that fare in the COVID-19 universe?
Yeah, the good news with drinking water is that we would expect, and every indication is that chlorination or disinfection of water will kill the virus. And whether that disinfection is happening effectively at a sewage treatment plant and at a drinking water plant, by the time any water is reaching someone's tap from a public drinking water system, that water has been disinfected. That is a basic part of drinking water treatment that has happened for well over 100 years that we've been doing, you know, effectively and routinely. So it is very unlikely that there's any risk from drinking water because we are very good at disinfecting our drinking water for public drinking water supplies.
And then, Dan, anything else you wanted to talk about? Anything that's still, you know, very nebulous or kind of what's the definitive here? Anything you didn't talk about that's important?
Well, one concern that we are exploring is the fact that a lot of our sewage treatment plants are only required to disinfect their effluent starting at sometime in May. So we have many stages of sewage treatment, but the last one that involves disinfecting the effluent and killing the pathogens, killing harmful viruses, harmful bacteria, that only happens at many of our treatment plants starting in May because that's when people start to return to the water and use the water a lot more frequently for swimming and boating and that sort of thing. So we have raised with the DEC the concern that we should look at this period of time between April and into May to see if there is enough of a risk to require additional disinfection at those treatment plants. So we don't really know yet if that is enough of a transmission risk that we should be calling for that step. But it is something that we want to identify and that we are exploring as something that we believe needs the attention of scientists, needs the attention of our regulators to make sure that we are providing as much treatment as we should for our waste.
A State Department of Environmental Conservation statement says, quote, basic sanitation, including preventing human and animal waste from reaching drinking water or food supplies, is a critical function of wastewater treatment to protect public health and the environment. Wastewater treatment operators have well-established and effective protocols in place that environmental and health agencies such as CDC, OSHA, EPA, and the World Health Organization, among others, consider effective in protecting workers from pathogens in human waste. Drinking water treatment also effectively addresses viruses such as COVID-19. And additionally, according to the World Health Organization, there is no evidence of COVID-19 illness from the virus from treated or untreated wastewater treatment plant effluent, end quote. DEC requires seasonal disinfection of treated wastewater effluent beginning May 1st. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says wastewater treatment plants treat viruses and other pathogens, adding that coronavirus, which causes COVID-19, is a type of virus that is particularly susceptible to disinfection. In a Q&A on its website, EPA writes that standard treatment and disinfectant processes at wastewater treatment plants are expected to be effective. Meantime, Shapley says COVID-19 has curtailed riverkeepers' gathering of water quality data.
Well, because we are aware of the possibility that the virus, you know, could get through our sewage treatment infrastructure and enter the water, and because we don't have enough understanding of that risk and its potential, we are postponing all of our projects that would involve volunteers going out to take water samples. Engaging volunteers in community science is a big part of what we do in gathering water quality data. The last thing we want to do is put anyone at risk. So as a precaution, we are waiting to see as the next rounds of science come in to see if that's enough of a risk that we need to be concerned about or whether we can engage the public in that way. We also are mindful that we are under, quarantine-type orders right now. So we want to be very respectful of pandemic science, and that tells us we need to stay home. So we are staying home for now. We have one boat captain and one boat. So what happens out on the Hudson, we're going to see if we can do as much as we can within the guidelines and the safety of our boat captain and within the guidelines that we have for maintaining appropriate social distance and whatnot to see if we can do as much work as possible out on the Hudson River.
Dan Shapley is Water Quality Program Director for Ossining-based Riverkeeper. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau on the campus of Vassar College, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.